All right, folks, welcome to the second episode of Shades of Agriculture with Damian Turner. Today I'm with my amazing little sister, Kayla Crawley, creator of the podcast Fearless Woman.
Hey, guys.
Mother of a beautiful, beautiful, my niece, Cambry, wife of my awesome brother-in-law, Kendrick Crawley, businesswoman, and most of all, once again, I need to repeat that she is my little sister, which is the best part of this whole situation. So let's welcome Kayla to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kayla Crawley. As my brother said before, I am his awesome, amazing, amazing baby sister. I'm so excited to be here and just share a little bit of my life with you guys.
Awesome. So like all things, we need to start from the beginning, from the root of the aspect. You know, from the first episode we had, I kind of gave you a little background about myself and a lot of things that I grew up doing and what actually led me to be in the agriculture field and have the career that I have today and continue doing that. So as you know, like I said, Kayla's my little sister. So me and her kind of have the same type of background. But, you know, I kind of want to see from her perspective how she feels, what she sees and the things that she did and her experience as a female one and African-American as well in the agricultural field. So let us begin. We're going to start off with a few questions. So this is not going to be a podcast where it's going to be scripted. We're just going to talk. We're just going to have a conversation. I'm going to let her give her spiel, and we're going to just roll from there. So let's start off by asking Kayla. So tell me a little about your background, where it all started, and what got you going in the agricultural field.
Oh, man. So long story short, I blame you for being in the agriculture field. As you all know, my brother showed he was the top man in the show field. And because of that, my parents thought that, hey, let's make our daughter show too. So my lovely self got to start at the age of 5 years old in the show ring. And when I say I didn't know what I was getting myself into, obviously I was only in kindergarten. I definitely did not know what I was getting myself into. So I started at the age of five and I showed all the way up into my senior year of high school. So that is 13 years of barns, tiers, and everything above. but I definitely wouldn't take anything away from the experience or just being out there and, you know, meeting new people and just learning everything that I did along the way. But 13 years is a long, long time. And as, you know, DT was saying earlier, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that today and just see, you know, how I felt through that process, because it definitely was a learning curve for me and taught me a lot about, you know, who I am as a young woman, an African-American young woman, and what I really wanted to do with my life. So yeah, that was 5 years old, guys. 5 years old.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to that. I've actually started when I was seven. So, like I said in the podcast before, my stepdad showed up when I was about 7 years old. So that kind of got me started. So, so go ahead and tell us a little about just some of your accomplishments you've made, Kayla, as far as with the showing and things like that.
Well, DT, where do I start? I mean, the list is definitely not as long and as brilliant and wonderful as yours. But at the age of five, I got my first grand, so cheers to that, woohoo. But, I mean, after that, no, I'm just kidding. I had a few grands. I had some showmanships under my belt. I started prospect shows a little later on. My daddy was getting a little bit up in age by the time I started showing, so prospect shows weren't really a big thing for us, but, I got to experience, you know, the Houston Livestock Show. Got to go to San Antonio. I didn't make it to Fort Worth, but as far as accomplishments, we can go with belt buckles, we can go with ribbons. But at the end of the day, I think the largest accomplishment that I had as far as showing was just, again, molding me into the person I am today, teaching me people skills, just showing me how to develop as a young woman and as a minority, as in, you know, in retrospect. So it was more than just awards. It was more so of me just finding myself and finding out who I wanted to be was the biggest reward from showing and just being able to travel around the beautiful state of Texas, for sure.
Gotcha. So with that being said, I mean, so we talk about your accomplishments. You get to travel around the earth, the good old state of Texas. You experienced multiple shows, been at the major shows. So with that, so what was your favorite part the whole aspect of showing cattle and showing animals and just being in that whole atmosphere?
Oh, man. Favorite part. Wow. There are so many, so many. But people that know me and, of course, know my brother, when you meet us, we are very relatable people. We are very talkative. You know, it is very easy to, you know, just get comfortable with us. So I really feel like being able to socialize with people of different backgrounds, meet new people, having to go with my dad to pick out animals, like, it taught me how to communicate. It taught me how to make people feel welcome. It taught me how to just be a homely type person. And that was definitely my favorite part, because if you don't really know me as a best friend or anything like that, I am a super introvert. I don't like talking. I love being to myself. And it really taught me how to step out of my shell, how to be, you know, a people's person. And now in the field that I work in, just the business mindset, having that and just going forward in my life. But it was, that was definitely the favorite part, just getting to know new people and speaking to them, talking and learning how to communicate effectively, if you could say that, how to communicate effectively. For sure.
We definitely understand about the communication part. I think that's one of the things that we definitely learned growing up in this realm, is that communication is key, especially when it came to communicating with animals. People would laugh at us, but I would consider us both cattle animal whisperers to a certain extent. Sure. Because I can remember we could take some of the craziest animals and turn them into the most docile creatures that you would ever see on earth. I remember one time I came home from school and Kayla was like, "Hey, Bubba, come here and watch this." And she ran out to the pen and she was running back and forth up and down the side of the pen, and the steer was following her like a little dog. And I was thoroughly amazed, like, how on earth did you get this animal to follow you and actually run beside you up and down the outside of the pen while he was inside the pen? And that was so amazing to me. And that definitely, like, set apart that I guess, knowledge, or that set apart that title as a cattle whisperer, that I will call you, because the best I could do was make mine sit and scratch his leg and he lift his leg up, but I could never actually get one to just follow behind me or follow beside me while I run up and down the pen aimlessly. And he did not stop one time. He didn't balk, he didn't falter, didn't pause. Wherever you went, he went. And I thought that was one of the coolest things I ever seen. So kind of back to the topic, tell me about what was your least favorite part of the whole situation as far as being agriculture and being in that realm and in atmosphere.
Oh, man. You know, least favorite part, there weren't very, very many that were my least favorite. But one thing that really stood out to me, and I still have to sit back every now and then in my adult life and take a look at, is just being misunderstood. You know, it was a lifestyle that I had to live whenever, you know, I showed. And so there was a lot of times where people in my community, or people of my age or even of my race, you know, they seen me as a person who thought they were stuck up or thought they had everything, because they seen the materialistic side of showing. Because, of course, you know, you show, you make the sale, you get the money, you know, your parents buy you the car, you know, when you get your permit. And we were very, very blessed to have a beautiful home. But a lot of people didn't know both of our parents worked two jobs. They were up at the crack of dawn and I never seen them when it was time to go to bed at night. But that was the least favorite part for me, is just not being understood. People didn't know, like, I still had emotions. I still, you know, was a normal young lady at the end of the day, and I wanted to have friends. Like, I wanted to go out and, you know, just be around people my age. But, you know, I had to grow up really, really fast. And so if you ask my brother or my husband or anyone around me, I have a very, very old soul. And because of my old soul, people can take that the wrong way, especially in the age, you know, my age group at the time. So it was really, really hard to make friends and just be around people that understood me
as a human being and not just somebody, you know, that thought they just had their whole life together at the end of the day because of what they seen and what, and they really just didn't know. Like, that was hard. Like, that was really, really tough. So that was definitely the least favorite thing for me in the agriculture world, for sure.
Oh, once again, I could definitely attest to that. You know, being in that small town, being the only African-American, you know, in that realm and in that film, you know, it kind of, I mean, that field, it kind of was hard to communicate because a lot of people did not understand why I couldn't go play, why I couldn't go to parties, why I couldn't, you know, go overnight trips because I had responsibilities. You know, we woke up in the morning, we fed animals, we went to school, came home after practice, fed animals, worked animals. And we did that pretty much every single day whenever we started this whole venture in agriculture. So to lead up into that, so as a female one, as an African-American female too, so how did you feel about being in that atmosphere? Did it affect you in a good or bad way, or did it affect you at all? Or so tell us about that.
It definitely had an effect. Now, I will say this, in the moment while it was going on, I did have my times where I was like, oh yeah, I got this, like I'm a gangster. You know, I'm not a gangster, y'all, I'm just playing, but like I thought I really had everything together, but I was definitely suffering, you know, with the identity crisis. Like, I didn't know if I wanted to be with the country kids, if I wanted to be with the black kids, if I wanted to, you know, I didn't know where to go. Like, I didn't know where I wanted to be, how I wanted to fit in, if I wanted to fit in. I didn't. And so as a young black woman, like, I had to really realize, like, that's what I was. Like, who you are is a young black woman doing something that, you know, a lot of people have not done in your community. You know, it was, for the longest, it was just me and my brother. Like, and that was it. Like, we were the African Americans in, you know, the area. And that was it. So I have really had to step back and see, you know, what it was that I was missing or what I was lacking to be a better me at the end of the day. I really don't know how to explain, you know, it's real tough to explain. But identity was the biggest thing. And there's still some times today where I'm just like, do I want to go back to agriculture? Do I want to go back, you know, to that place that I enjoyed at some times and hated, you know, in other times at the end of the day? But it's hard to put in words sometimes, for sure.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to that adaptability thing that you kind of, you stated in the earlier questions, that it taught us a lesson to be very versatile and adaptable people. I can definitely understand where you're coming from when you're talking about the identity thing, because even now, sometimes you get questioned and sometimes you get looked at weird ways for being the only African-American or black person, you know, at a show. You know, now I'm thankful there's a lot more, but for the long time, you know, me and Kayla were the only ones, maybe one or two possibly sprinkled along the whole thing. But majority of the time it was just me and her, especially in our county and around our region, you know, it was just me and Kayla. And so I could definitely understand what you're saying as far as that affecting you the way it did. So kind of in retrospect, is there anything you would do differently, any regrets, anything like that, or are you just cool with the experience, or what?
Definitely zero regrets. It's molded me into who I am today. Without the experience, you know, I wouldn't be the Kayla that everybody sees. But would I do things differently? Shoot, yes. One thing, and I mentioned it earlier when we were just talking, I was not very social. I didn't talk about my feelings. I showed zero emotion. And as a young woman, you know, that was really, really hard. Not being able to express myself, not having anyone to talk to besides, as my brother called me, the cow whisperer, besides my cows. I didn't have anyone to speak to or anyone to relate to because I was the only one in the area. And that was hard. So for me, I think the thing that I would have definitely changed is speaking up to my parents more and letting them know, like, I need an outlet. I need someone to talk to. Like, I need to have relationships with people that, you know, are on my level. Not to say I was above anybody or below anyone else, but that was thinking the way that I was thinking and moving the way that I was moving in my life at that point in time, so I could release. Because now that I'm, you know, cough, cough, almost 30, I'm learning how to effectively communicate now, because I didn't learn that, you know, growing up, because it was you eat, sleep, and breathe cattle. You eat, sleep, and breathe showing. Like, you are, you wake up, you know, well, let my brother tell it. He woke up at 5:30. But, you know, my daddy loved me, so I didn't have to wake up. You know, all I had to do was mix the feed later on at night.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. He would feed for
me, you know. Yeah. But not to take away from the topic, but, you know, that was my life. It was cows. It was everything. I played sports for a point in time, and I left the sports so I could, you know, continue to show. And again, I don't regret anything, but I wish I would have spoken up for myself and, you know, been my own advocate at the end of the day and let people know, this is how I'm feeling. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to have emotions. I did not have to be serious all the time, every day, 24/7. When I woke up in the morning, so when I went to bed at night, I did not have to be this super serious person. It was okay to have fun. It was okay to have friends. It was okay to do those things. But I never said it. I never stepped out of my shell. I never stepped out of my comfort zone. And I had strict parents too, so that made it, you know, a little bit tougher. But I never just, you know, said those things and let it come off my heart and let the emotion out. And now I'm learning to do that as a grown woman, and I have a beautiful daughter, and my goal is to teach her, you know, it's okay. It's okay to feel, it's okay to speak, it's okay to do all of those things. Just talk to me. That's all I need you to do, is talk to me, and let me know how you're feeling, because that's something that I wish I would have done, and I wish I had somebody, you know, to support me in that. I give a huge shout out to my brother, not because I'm on his podcast or anything, but I give a huge shout out to my brother, because once he got older and understood things more, he also came, you know, to my rescue, and he was my outlet, my high school years, and that helped a lot. So to me, if only I would have done that, you know, younger. Again, I started showing at 5. Like, I'm 5. Like, who does that? These fools are going to college next year. Like, I'm there with some people that got beards and mustaches, and here I am just like, do. But, you know, I wish I would have done it earlier, to help my mindset now as an adult, for sure. Just communicating and letting my parents know that, you know, I'm not a robot at the end of the day. I have feelings, and I need to express myself. You know, that, yeah, let me express myself.
Well, all right then, ma'am. Yes, Lord. Once again, can attest to every single thing you're saying, because we grew up in a very strict household. I wouldn't say it was a bad strict, because it taught us a lot of things as adults that we do now that have obviously get us to the point that we've achieved the things we've achieved. But it definitely was hard sometimes. And like I said, I can attest to that, and I don't want to go on that long tangent, but a couple more questions I want to ask you, Kayla. Let's see. So what advice would you give somebody, a young lady, young African-American female, anything? What advice would you give them, besides the amazing thing you just said about having an outlet and having a voice in expressing yourself? Any other advice that you would like to give someone that is in this the atmosphere, or thinking about getting to the atmosphere, or that is already in that atmosphere, that could help them further along in their future endeavors?
Oh man, so for sure, like you just said a while ago, having that outlet, make sure you know, talk to someone, but also be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Love yourself in the midst, because for me, as a young woman, and especially African American young woman, I beat myself up a lot. I targeted myself at the end of the day, because if something went wrong, a lot of people, you know, if you're listening, you know, DT is in the ag world and is showing, it's a thing that youth do, but I don't know if some parents or some people understand that, like, when we go out there, this is us. Like, what we present to people is what we put our work into. Like, we put the time in, we put the effort in. So when you don't make a sale, or you don't get showmanship, or, you know, you don't get that grant or that reserve, you take that out on yourself as a young person. And it may be hard for, you know, adults to understand, like, oh, you're only 10 or you're only 12. How are you feeling the way that you're feeling? How do you have feelings? Like, baby, I got feelings. And they are strong. Like, they are strong because I know I've been, you know, in the barn for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, like, putting all of my work into this, not having a social life, as I said before, not having friends, not being around anybody. Just pouring into this cow, like this cow, like that's where my mind went. Like, I'm pouring into this cow and this thing did not make the sale. So I'm like, I'm beating myself up on the inside, on the outside. I was like, well, what if I would have done more? What if I would have taken more time? What if I would have woken up earlier in the morning? What if I would have went to bed later at night? What if I would have quit playing sports? What if I, you know, would have quit doing debate teams? So on and so forth. Do not do that to yourself. Do not do that to yourself. You need to have something that presents your individuality. Again, I lost myself in the sauce at the end of the day. I had identity crisis. I didn't know who I was or what I was representing at the end of the day. Do not do that. Be patient with yourself. Whenever you know, I don't even call it failure. Whenever you know you have a lack thereof in that moment, pick yourself up. You're okay. Like, you're going to be fine. It just wasn't the time for this project. Like, because at the end of the day, that's what it is a project. And when you think about a project, it's something that is never going to be perfect, but you're going to continue to work at every single day. So get yourself up, dust yourself off. Know that next time you're going to go out there and wreck shop. Because again, as a young woman, I was like, I'm about to be all these dudes in this ring. They ain't got no stick like me. My brother knows what I'm talking about. He's over here laughing at me. We called him a stick, y'all. My brother was a stick. But they ain't got no stick like me. I got this. But there were times when I definitely, you know, I didn't win. But that didn't mean that I failed. That just means I have to go back in, rework it, figure out, you know, where I may have slipped up in that moment, where I may have lost focus, and get back on track. Because at the end of the day, everything comes when it's supposed to. So just be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Love yourself. Because it's going to look like at sometimes that everyone else is beating you up, and you can't do it to yourself too. So just be patient, be kind, love yourself, and talk to somebody, not just an animal. You know, don't talk to no chickens and no cows and goats, y'all. Talk to some people.
Yeah, we definitely had a talking to animal issue growing up. That was our main audience. I know myself, I had concerts out at the barn with my calves.
Category, bro. I didn't sing to my cows. I'm sorry. I didn't sing to my cows.
So I had multiple concerts, country concerts out there singing on my cows. And they were the best audience ever. I never got any booze. I got some moos, but no booze. So final question, Kay.
What's up?
So do you have any future plans to chase in agriculture, cattle, horses, pigs, goats, anything, raise some hay, any different types of, any type of ag, you know, related future endeavors you have coming up or plan on doing?
Oh, man, you would go there. You would definitely go there. If you know us, you know that me and my brother are polar opposites. I work in retail, y'all. And my brother is scooting and booting outside. I don't do heat. I don't do bugs, especially mosquitoes. We live in Texas, honey. But no, it's been a long dream of my brothers and myself, you know, to have show cattle. You know, he can deal with the goats and the pigs and all that stuff, y'all. I don't like them. I can't deal with them. But, you know, to have show cattle and raise our kids to be around animals and just understand, you know, the agriculture side. So, have I stepped away from it? Yes. But would it always be a part of me? Of course. If my kids is out to show, excellent. They's going to go see their uncle. They just ain't going to be bothered with their mama. Because I'm not going outside ever again. Now, will I be the accountant for our cattle business? Baby, yes. I will handle the money and I will handle everything on the business side. So that's about as far as in the agriculture as I will possibly get. And doing some more podcasts with my brother, of course. But, you know, I leave that to the professionals, which happens to be DT, and that is not myself anymore. sorry, he's laughing at me. But I will help in any way possible. I still do have a passion for kids. You know, so I love to mentor children, especially young Black women. So if they're in it, I would love to be there for them, help them out in any way I possibly can, give them the advice they can take or leave. But as far as me just digging into agriculture again, probably not. y'all might see me at some livestock shows, you know, but just know I'm trying to sell you something if I'm there. And it's probably a cow. I don't do Brangus or Angus. It's going to be a Maine-on Jew. Or as my brother would say, there was a point in my life where I didn't know how to say Kianina, guys. I didn't know how to say Kianina, and I called it a Cheyenne. And so I'll be selling you some Cheyennes, guys, some Cheyennes. But no, be on the lookout, you know. I haven't come up with a name yet, but I'm like in D&K cattle, you know, coming to you guys soon, very, very soon. But other than that, nah, I'm done, my brother. I'm done.
Okay. Well, Kay, greatly appreciate your time. And once I said, my little sister been an amazing part of my life. Even the day she set foot, and she definitely kept me on the right track, because I definitely want to be a role model for her and do the things that I need to do in agriculture. Sometimes I failed, sometimes I didn't, but with her around, I mean, she's definitely been an extreme and amazing backbone to me to help me continue doing what I'm doing and endeavors that I'm doing. So, Kay, do you want to give a plug for your Fearless Woman podcast, or tell them where they can find you on social media? Or
oh, man, guys. All right. So I am currently on Facebook. You can just look me up. It's just Fearless Woman. I am getting on my podcast again. My brother has been on my behind about it, and so has my husband. But I am a little bit opposite of my brother as far as my podcast goes. It's talking about my life. Just talking about things that I have been through just as a young woman in general, my business mindset, excuse me, and marriage. My husband is a youth pastor, and so there's some things that I talk about in there as well, and again, the mentorship. So you can find me on Facebook right now. My podcast, I will be dropping a new season. My brother did not know, but my new season drops the beginning of September, guys. It's called The Chewing the Cud of Life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, he came with the title. I give him his props. But it's called Chewing the Cud of Life. It drops the beginning of September, so go and hit that good old follow button on Facebook, guys. Again, it's Fearless Woman. I appreciate you, my brother, for bringing me on today. I definitely had a blast talking to you and just, you know, get some things off my chest at the end of the day. But it's been great, and hello to all of you DT followers.
All right, man. So I greatly appreciate having you on, Kay. Man, that 30 minutes kind of went by quick, man. I didn't think it would be that quick. But like I said, man, I thank y'all very much for tuning in to the second episode of Shades of Agriculture with Damian Turner. Once again, I want to thank my beautiful, amazing baby sister, Kayla Crawley, for coming on and talking with us today. And also, I want to give a shout out to my awesome brother-in-law, Kendrick Crawley. You might have heard Cam in the background, and he's kind of took her to the other room so we can get this thing done. And I greatly appreciate his efforts to help the family out and to get this thing rolling. And once again, I thank y'all for listening to us today, and thank you, Kayla. And we'll see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.
Y'all take it easy. Thank y'all.